Good morning. You are listening to Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Current conditions outside the studio in Sitka, fog and mist at 54 degrees. Winds southwest at 3 miles per hour with visibility of 2 miles. I'll have a full marine and zone forecast for you in about 15 minutes or so. But first, it is time for the morning interview, and I'm very excited to welcome to the studio this morning, Esmeralda Gonsalves. Welcome to the morning interview, Esmeralda.
Hi, it's great to be here.
It's great to have you. So you are here in Sitka on a craft research fund grant. I guess there's so much to talk about. Can you give us a little bit of your background as an artist, maybe where you started out with school, and where's home base for you?
Yeah, basically, home base is Rhode Island School, Rhode Island. I am a trained artist. I went to Rhode Island School of Design, studying apparel design and minoring in materials engineering. I would say for me, where I started was very much just in a sewing studio. My mother passed away when I was very young. So the elementary school librarian at my all-girls Catholic school taught me how to sew. She always wanted a daughter to teach how to sew and do crafts. So from there, it kind of exploded. I ended up going to school doing that. And from there, I would say I've been traveling the world, basically doing art and research.
So the things that first piqued your interest, maybe all of the above is the answer, but with sewing, was it, you know, the fabric and the different types of materials you can use, or the different types of patterns you were learning to sew? What first became appealing to you about that?
I love that people can put their own touch on their craft, I would say. For me, it was very much just having, like, choosing the fabric, choosing the embroidery, choosing anything, and kind of creating it into your own body shape. I originally wanted to study apparel to kind of make wedding dresses. I really wanted to make things that last and have that memory that most people will have forever, you know?
Yeah. Let's pivot a little bit to your time in university. You said you went to the Rhode Island Art School of Art, Art and Design?
I went to the Rhode Island School of Design.
Thank you.
So I studied apparel design. I got the privilege of traveling around during that time. I went to Mexico. That was the first time I ever went abroad. I was so excited. And during that time, I was able to meet a lot of amazing individuals. I lived in Oaxaca in Puebla. I was able to live on a mezcal plant for a very long time. And I honestly got to meet so many incredible individuals. But as we all know, Mexico isn't the most wealthiest country. And there was this really strong memory of meeting a man with a donkey who was very, very sick. And he really loved that donkey, honestly. And there was like an eye affection and everything. And he was just so in love. He like spent a lot of his savings just trying to take care of it. And to kind of see that emotion of just seeing how life is like abroad and just seeing what life is like outside of America, I would say, really fundamentally changed the way I view things, especially since I'm like I'm a first generation daughter of immigrants. I hear the stories all the time. My dad's from Cape Verde, my mom's from Puerto Rico. I'm the first literate woman in my entire family. You hear that sad story over and over, but you don't necessarily understand it until you see it yourself. And that kind of wanted me to experience the world more. Which caused me to travel more, you know?
Absolutely. That first abroad program, how long of a stint was that in Mexico?
It was roughly a year.
Okay, wow. So it wasn't just, you were just there for a couple of weeks. You got to really immerse.
No, I was really studying this kind of like dyeing technique that was used when Spanish colonizers came to Mexico, where they used beetles and everything, dyed the textiles. It's kind of like how they painted their churches and everything, because they didn't really have gold then. And any gold they had, the Spanish unfortunately raped and pillaged and all that stuff. So that like technique kind of stayed through, and they make that beautiful red that you see a lot of textiles have. That is how it's made.
So looking a little closer at the work you're doing with this grant, you've been in our pre-conversation, you mentioned you've been all over Alaska before arriving in Sitka. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've been from Anchorage down. I've been traveling around seminaries and churches, basically living in schoolhouses, any like offsuit like housing they have or anything like that. Basically talking to individuals who have any connection to indigenous textiles, specifically beadwork. And any archival thing they have at the church, honestly.
And what? How did your work pivot to, I guess, Alaska and indigenous beadwork in Alaska? How did that pathway wind up here?
like I said before, I grew up in an all-girls Catholic school, so religion was always a fundamental part of my background. And as I traveled around, I was able to travel around Europe, Asia, and everything else. I found that where you find textiles, you can also find religion. And a lot of times when you find endangered textiles, you also find religion. So that kind of historical context kind of brought me to the idea of America. I really wanted to do this under a craft grant. And what better way to go from the smallest state to the biggest state in the whole time? So I found the kind of pathway through Russian Orthodoxy. It was very unique because of the fact that Russian missionaries were able to kind of integrate indigenous native people into the church. And they really did celebrate each other's culture, something you don't see anywhere else in the world. So I really wanted to study that intersection and see where that lies with textiles.
Yeah. So I guess what have you, when you're doing research, you mentioned it's a lot of kind of interviews, conversation. How much of it is actual like physical items that you're hoping to either get your eyes on or your hands on? Tell us a little bit about your process when you're researching in an area.
A lot of it is definitely material focused. I think my first thing I would do is like just go around and talk to people. I think the best way you can ever find out about the situation, about like how people feel and then how people see history is through just interviewing people and talking to them. Along with that, we all know that no one is still alive back then. So I'm reaching out to like great grandkids and everything, just talking to them about like how their history was told and how like their narrative was shaped, and that helped the world. Along with that, I would then go to talk to church heads of churches and archivists. Anything that wasn't burned down or given back to DC, I was able to see in person. Like I've seen really original pieces, like they have in Kodiak, original pieces of the original, like what Father Herman and everything was wearing at the time before he became a saint. Along with that, I was able to see a lot of like very old beadwork. Made originally before even glass beads were even brought to Alaska and everything. I see like a lot of history that way.
Wow. And what do you find? I'm sure like every interview is different, every interaction can be, but what's in general when people meet somebody here, you know, from Rhode Island, you've traveled all over the world and you want to talk to you know, the grandchild of somebody or you know, what do you find? Like what sort of responses do you get?
I get a great love and passion for their background, I would say. Like, they have so much respect for their ancestors and everything, along with the fact that Bigfoot exists here in Alaska, which is a little crazy, but I digress. But also, you just never know who you meet. Like, there's so many people here that have traveled around the world and decided to come back, and then they tell me their story about how they were able to do that, or this one little offset of, like, anything's a golden nugget, you know? A huge thing I'm finding is that how they remember their grandmother just going to like the plane lines and everything and the airports and picking up beads and stuff like that. It's really sweet to see such great passion. And a lot of times I see interviewers cry or anything when they talk about their grandparents or anything or what their grandmother has done. It's something really not seen.
You're really not just researching the textiles or the art itself. I mean, this is family history and experience. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, textiles, you find family history through textiles, you know. A long time ago, women were not able to, like, write or learn how to read or anything like that. They're not able to publish. And the only thing they really have, especially, is the textiles itself. That's one of the crafts that they're able to actually explore their history and talk about, like, lineage passed down. So for me, I'm kind of uncovering a new sect of history that isn't really talked about or anything like that. I think that's very important. I think women should be allowed to have their voices, even if they're kind of being like stampled on a lot of times.
Yeah, no, this is all very fascinating. What's your goal with your time here? And then what will you do with the information that you find?
Well, right now I'm in Sitka. This is my last stop. I'm here for a few more weeks and I will be publishing right after all my findings. And then I did get the Make Art grant from Rhode Island, which allows me to kind of recreate a whole Aurora Borealis, retelling the story through glass beads and stained glass. So I'm really excited for that. I'll be having an exhibition in Rhode Island next year, and then hopefully it'll spread more towards New York.
Does this congratulations on the other grant and all the work that you're doing. Have you found as you've been researching this topic around the world, do you get plugged in with other people who are also you know, has this made unexpected connections with other textile hunters, if you will?
Fortunately, I'm the only one. Wow. I have not met that many people who will travel around the world researching textiles constantly and do these grants. Like when I did my Fulbright in India, I was the only artist at the time.
Wow.
So it's very shocking, but it's understandable, especially since for me, textiles is considered a craft more than anything else. And that's actually seen not as an art form a lot of times. And it's kind of seen separately. Even my Fulbright is under craft instead of art.
Wow.
Even though I fully have a BFA and everything else. So this is one of the reasons why it's so important, is because the fact that like I want to elevate textiles to be seen not only as an art form and something that's very valuable and important, but also a piece of history that should be documented and registered as such.
Absolutely. In kind of wrapping up, what have you found? I mean, it sounds like the stories, the people that you meet, but you know, doing this research kind of remotely from afar versus actually getting your boots on the ground and going to these communities and being able to talk to people, what do you find is the big, what's the draw for you in getting to travel all over the place?
Well, first, free travel, number one.
Okay.
But also, for me, I'm from the smallest town, like I said before. So for me, being able to meet people who have different experiences and being able to share their experiences with them and just talk to them and get to like document that and let them voices be told. You know, I think everything we hear in history books, not necessarily is the truth, and everything we learn in history class is so different. Like being in Poland, being around the world, being anywhere, like Alaska, what I hear from the East Coast of what Alaska is so different than what I've seen it.
I'll bet. Thank you so much for talking with us this morning. In closing, if people want to see your work or maybe even see you around town, is there anywhere that you're going to be or any website or anything that people can look you up on?
If you ever see a fashionable girl, probably in bright colors, in Sitka, say hi. That's most likely me, especially if she looks very, very lost. Along with that, you can just check out my LinkedIn and website. I'm sure they'll have it linked. I'm always doing different project shenanigans, so stay tuned.
Absolutely. I'm sure we'll have something on our website about this interview very, very soon. Esmeralda Gonsalves in Sitka on a craft research fund grant. We so appreciate you taking some time and talking to us on the morning interview this morning.
Thank you for having me.
And safe travels for wherever you're headed next.
You guys are the best. Thanks.
All right. I'll be back with the weather in just a few minutes. I hope you'll stay tuned.
You're listening to KTOO's